All right, we're in 1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome everybody out there in TV land. All right, and it's good to see everybody here tonight. Let me just continue in prayer that Brian left off. Sweet presence there, and give everybody time to sit. Father, we do thank you for the word. We thank you for the blood that has redeemed us, that has cleansed us, that has given us the opportunity to be sons. We decree that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, declared to be your sons by your own word, delivered by your own hand, translated, delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of the beloved. We are loved by you, and we choose to receive that love, Father, and return it to you, even as someone said earlier, by being obedient to your word, being obedient to your leading. We are entirely appreciative of the Spirit who lives with us, guides us, indwells us, and leads us, that we may be who you have called us to be in the earth. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit now. We thank you for the wisdom, as Christ has become our wisdom, the wisdom that you bestow on us now, that we can draw even closer to you to hear from you and do what you call us to do. Amen. Amen. All right. Tonight I will endeavor to share with you about the application of the word. The last time when Brother James was up here, my uncle, we call him Uncle June, which y'all call him Brother James. When he was here, he talked about the word of God, and he seems that part of the thing that pushed him was us going from hearing the word, he kind of repeated that throughout the message, to actually doing something with that word. So it's not good enough just to come and listen to the word and get it all stored in you. We need to do something with it. And so as I move forward from that, the thing that God dropped in my spirit is to deal with the application of the word. I kind of like the nuts and bolts of things, and so what I want to try to do is maybe make that a little more understandable, the how do we get to the application of the word, if you will, so that we can get into what God would desire us to get into. Let me start with this, and maybe this will help. John chapter 15:8. Let me point this out before we get into it. I'll try to outline it and stick to my time here. John 15, verse 8, Jesus is talking. I'll probably start with 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Again, this is one of those words or those promises that we kind of look over because of the power of it. But look what he says here. And remember what Brian just shared about authority. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. And what's that next word? Whatever, which is a powerful word, because whatever includes what? It includes a lot. But if we look at it, it's talking about the scope of authority that you have in the earth. If you have the proper understanding, ask, if you abide in me, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. 8, my Father is glorified by this. This refers to what? My Father is glorified by you asking whatever you wish, and then that you ask being done. He says that you asking for something, and then the Father granting what you ask glorifies him. And again, we're talking about the scope of authority there. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So you asking, God granting what you're asking for, is equivalent to you bearing fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, Richard, weren't you just talking about that? Was that Michelle? Whether two or one. These things, verse 11, I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He says, I'm saying these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Your joy is going to be made full, not by you studying the word and hearing the word. Understand what he's saying. Your joy is going to be made full, not by you coming and attending church. Your joy is going to be made full when you bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit when you're in the place where you can ask the Father whatever, and the whatever that you ask for is granted. Now we're talking about the application of the word. And that's what I want to talk about, understanding the process to the application of the word. Let me say this to you in a little bit different, just to get us on the same page before I go through. About 2 or 3 years ago, my aunt blessed me with a nice flat screen television. And it was a smart TV. Love that. It's different from regular TV. Because I'm part of the generation where when mom wanted to watch TV, or she watched it, and when she was ready to change the channel, she did what? John, get on up there. And we'd go, I'd get on up there, and see, we had the knobs. You know, young people don't know about the knobs. And you'd go, and if we were going from 36 to 18, boy, it was, that's why we had big wrists. You know, so now we have the smart TV. The TV can do something for you. And I had no idea what the TV could do. But the TV came with a manual. Now, the manual, you know, it's pretty good. Now, my wife is smarter than me. And I think Brother Derek said that I married above my station. That was true. But if she made a bad deal, that's bad on her. I was going to do well. So she never really looks at the manual. She just figures it out. But I have to get the manual, and I get in there and read it. And, okay, all right, we can watch stations, we can watch channels on this thing. But it also has a thing where we can connect the computer. And by connecting the computer to the television, I can watch what's on the computer on the television. And now I can go on the internet, start downloading stuff and watching that. So now I'm getting different things. Now, I got excited about being able to watch what's on my computer, on my television, because that was what was in the manual. I knew I could do that. When I did it, I was like, "Hey, a couple of shows came out, you know, and we don't have DVR, but they're on the internet. So we come home from church or whatever, and we're going to watch this program together." I plug my computer in, put it on, and we get a big laugh, and we may argue about one of the characters, something. It's fun for us, and we are excited because of the application of the knowledge that was in the manual. Got a remote control because we got cable recently, and it has a big, you know, different, all it's a lot of different stuff on there, you know, instead of just power on, power off. So, got a manual. You can read the manual. I got two manuals. Read the manual and found out I was watching television at night. Wife was up, and I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. And so I'm doing this with the remote. And right at the bottom of the remote is the button that you can push that illuminates the buttons. I'm like, oh, because now this is different. We're in the century. I'm like, oh man, it's lit up. So I start pushing it just to get it to light to do stuff. Application of the knowledge that's in the manual produced the joy. So our joy was full. I'm doing stuff. Got two manuals. Got some stuff out of it. Got an opportunity on Christmas to go help. I don't know if I can share this. I didn't check this out. I can share. But Demetrius, the daughter, was blessed. Big mansion, Barbie. Dollhouse. But it was not put together. Now, I had just put together a shelf for my wife. And so I know that part of that is not tap, 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 put it together. Tap, tap, tap. And then, you know, I ask forgiveness for the words that come out of my mouth. Because they, you know, no, I don't say. Well, anyway, I do get upset. Because they don't exactly put in the stuff what's supposed to be in there, you know. What's this picture supposed to be, you know? So Demetrius was going through this. And this is a three-story mansion. And her daughter told me, I have a three-story mansion. I have the elevator. So Demetrius is putting this stuff together. The first thing I did, of course, I grabbed the manual, which told you nothing. This actually didn't help you. But with collected together, probably 6 hours later, we put this mansion together. It wasn't 6 hours. It was three, because it would have been 10 for me. But he puts stuff together with stickers here. The elevator goes. You can push the stove and it makes noise. It's a mansion. But because of the application of the knowledge that was in the manual and in Demetrius' brain, mansion came together and child can have joy. Because of the application of the knowledge that was in the manual. Now there's four manuals. Now, having the manuals produce no joy. Having the manuals is just having the manuals. Having the knowledge of what's in the scriptures produces no joy. The joy is made complete when you're producing the fruit that the Father wants you to produce. Does that make sense? I want to take it one step further, because the Father, he wants his joy is complete when you bear fruit. There is a scripture in Jeremiah that says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you hope, a future, success. Let me combine that in Psalms when it says, I knew you when I formed you in the womb. In the womb. In the womb. Let me draw that out so I can get back to the scripture and try to run through it. Physiologically, as you're being put together in the mother's womb and all these nucleotides. I'm actually getting that from another professor. But all these things are dividing and things, and you're giving muscles and things. There's actually your muscles that you have are made up of fibers wrapped around. And there's actually two different kinds of fibers in the muscle. There's slow twitch fiber and fast twitch fiber. Now, the slow twitch fiber is generally used so that you can do things continually for a long period of time. It's a little broader, a little longer. And, you know, this is walking, this is jogging, it's for mother spanking. You know, my mother was spanking, so she had to do a lot of that, had to work that out to produce the peace in me. But that's given to you when you're born. Now, all of the milers, like Kenyans that run at the milers, the marathons, they have a huge amount of slow twitch fiber. Now, you can develop your slow twitch fiber a little more, but you cannot increase what you have been given. Opposite of that, the fast twitch fiber is for power. Can't do it for a long time, but short bursts, boom, jumping real high, running real fast. All of your 100-meter sprinters, guess what they have a lot of? Fast twitch fiber. Amazing how that works. Now, you can have a person with a lot of fast twitch fiber running a marathon. You can do that. And they can train themselves and all that, but they won't do as well as somebody that's trained that has a lot of slow twitch fiber. God says, I knew you when I formed you in the womb. John, what are you saying? I need to determine whether I'm a miler or a short distance runner? No. I'm telling you that there are certain gifts and abilities that God gave you, specifically you, when you were born. And the things that he gave you were to equip you to do what he designed you to do when he formed you in his mind. And his joy is made complete, not when you study the scriptures and have knowledge that God loves you, but when the application of that love compels you to be the best you that you can be. Then his joy is complete. And then you get to experience the joy that he put in you. Does that make sense? The reason why I'm saying that is because the application of the word is not, I get to go to the Bible school camp and win the prize for memorizing the most scriptures. The application of the scriptures compels you into the destiny that God planned for you. That's where the application comes from. Are we on the same page? Okay, so what we're going to do in the next 27 minutes is talk through God wanting you to understand him. That's the first thing. We'll try to zip to that. Then understand the level at which that understanding needs to occur. All right, and then we'll talk about the disciplines of developing the inner man. If we see those three things come together, and if I can get to the fourth one, which is applying the word, then that's, I think that'll help us move even a further distance in what God wants for us this time. So the first thing, all right, the first thing in understanding the process of the application of the word is understanding that God wants us to understand him. Go to Matthew 13, which is Pastor has been ministering out of that for a while. Remember, that was Kingdom 101, that particular verse. I'm going to pull a verse out of that. You understand the scriptures for context, but let me do this. Matthew 13, verse 9 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is Jesus preaching. Let me go. 13:9. I'm just pulling that one part out. He's talking about the parable of the sower sows the word. Da 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 da. If you remember the message that the pastor preached, he gets to the end of that, and now he's going to instruct his disciples. But before that, as he's talking to everybody, I said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Which basically, if you can understand what I'm saying, understand it. The key thing is to understand it, not to hear it. Because if we come in the mode of church and listening to the message being preached, we would think the goal is to hear it because that fulfills my spiritual discipline, right? I come to church, I listen to the message, I give an offering, and now I'm good with God. Now, he's teaching something. He says, the goal here is to understand. I want you to understand it. And he talks to the disciples, and he said, they're not going to understand it. Because the key for understanding that is not given to them, it's given to you. Now, if you were in King's class, you would understand that, Pat, because he dealt with who the you were. Tina, were you there that day? I think y'all might have been on vacation, the royalty stuff. The you people, the you in is given to you, given to the disciples. The disciples were people who had submitted to the lordship of God. So if I'm going to study that and apply that to me, I can apply that situation to my situation because I am someone who has submitted myself to the lordship of God. And when you submit yourself to the lordship of God, he gives you a gift. Jesus prayed for this gift to be given to you, which was the reception of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. He's not going to say Holy Spirit in this verse, but he leaves a clue to it, all right? Let me go down to him fulfilling this explanation of what the key to understanding the kingdom is. Try to be quick. All right, verse 14. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you'll keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. Now, here, I'm sure, if I was in that group of disciples, I would not understand what he's saying. They're going to see with their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, but they are seeing you. And they would hear you with your ears, but they are hearing you. Then he mentions the heart. Now, right there, how many medical doctors are in that group of disciples? Not yet. Luke came later, and he was more of a PhD. He studied these things out, and then he took them to the king. Good answer. When he dealt with the heart, what was he dealing with? Read it again. I know you got it. I know you got it. They're going to, otherwise, verse 15, the bottom of it, they will see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. He's talking about the inner man. Without even getting there, because they can't understand that, but he's talking about the inner man. In order for them to understand what I'm saying, they were going to have to understand it on an inner man level, which, how many people can do that without being saved? None. Had to receive it here. Why? Their hearts were closed to God. That's the same thing that Jesus, the very thing he came to open. You disciples, you have the key because you're listening to me. You have the key, which is the Spirit. They're going to receive that to understanding what I'm saying. Right now, I'm explaining it to you. What did he say to Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can that happen if I'm telling you these things? Spiritual things have to be understood spiritually, but he wants you to understand. He doesn't just want you to hear it. I went to the thing and I heard what he said. What did he say? He said a lot. Right? When you come to church, man, Pastor was good. He, woohoo. What did he say? Well, because the point is not to come in here, Pastor. That's not the point. That's not the goal of coming here. The point is to come here and receive the instruction of the word, which is given by the Spirit through Pastor. Jesus said, it's better for me that I go away, because when I go away, the Comforter is going to come. And now, instead of having me here in Jerusalem, you get me everywhere. And now, instead of me being here, having this talk specifically to Ruth, when he speaks to everybody now at the heart of their situation. When you come here, you don't come here to hear what Pastor's saying to the group. You come here to hear, you come here to hear, yeah, what the Spirit is saying to you. Does that make sense? Well, I'm trying to get to the application of the word. I can come here and learn from Pastor a bunch of stuff from the scriptures. And I have. And it has made me doctrinally more sound than some ministers. In my youth, I won't do it now, I would argue with some of them. So not, without knowing that they were ministers, because pastor teaches humility. But one time this minister asked me a question about speaking in tongues or whatever. Tried to use Corinthians on me, you know, whatever. So I explained to him, look, this is what Paul was talking about. Paul spoke in tongues, you know. Anyway, I went through the whole thing. And then my frat brother is like, hey, man, it's my dad. I was like, hey, man, I'm not trying to discourage your dad. I said, he's a preacher. I was like, oh, but I knew what the word said. The point is not to become more doctrinally sound than everybody else. It's to hear, understand what the Spirit is saying. Now, he's going to use the scriptures to minister to you directly now. If you need provision now, you need to understand how God is moving you into provision. Does that make sense? So if pastor is coming here and he's ministering about Easter eggs, which he will not do, you can bet at somewhere in there, God is going to speak a word to him. And in that word is going to be your key to understanding what? How you are going to move into your provision. Because he can be talking about provision. And if you understand that, hey, God supplies all my needs according to the living standard of heaven. God causes the work of my hands to prosper. Everything I touch, it prospers. You can understand all of that and not hear how God is moving you into provision. You will not be moved in provision. You will be overweight by debt. Because you were coming to hear the word, which is good, but you needed to move beyond that. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I'm trying to get to that. I'm trying to get to that. The point here is he does want you to understand, but that understanding comes at the inner man level. So all of us, whenever we're hearing, the goal is to hear at the inner man level. That understood? I've repeated that. Let me go to the next point. Let me show that. Like I said, understanding must occur at the inner man level. Let me leave this one and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6. Watch this. Now this is Jesus speaking to Paul, but he's going to elaborate on what he just said. Same thing, though. 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, my gosh. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Watch this. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Oh, man. Mysteries have to be uncovered. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just as it is written, things which eye has, well, here we go again. We've heard this before. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard. If you have an ear that does not hear, it is deaf. If you have eyes that cannot see, they are Jesus said, behold, I come so that the and the, okay, mysteries unlocked by keys. All that God has prepared for those who love him. 10. For to who? Let me say it again. For to who? For to who? God did what? God wants you to understand. Understanding comes on the inner man level. There are mysteries, secrets hidden in God that God wants you to understand, but it happens at the inner man level.
Now, if I want to speak doctrinally, I can break this down and we can get into breaking down the word of God. Let's understand these mysteries and these secrets of God. What did Jesus talk to him about? Peter. Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter said, Jesus, what's John them going to do? Jesus said, mysteries, none of your business. If I want him to live until I come back, that's what he going to do. You do what I'm telling you to do. That was a mystery. I'm getting at that because if you don't get beyond the word, then all we're trying to do is learn John the Revelation. No, John the Revelation is the manual to unlock the mystery of who God empowered you to be so that you can say, what is Paul supposed to do? Don't worry about what Paul is supposed to do. I told you to dance. I told you to sing. I told you to. But you're not going to get that from Jesus loves me. Now, you may get that from Jesus loves me. Me and Jesus enjoy being together. I have a great passion for dancing. I think I would love to dance for God some way. And see, now I'm dialoguing. Why do I have this passion? God, it's just not enough time. But you have the mysteries is to unlock the secret things within you so that you become what God wants you to be, so that then you begin to be the light or the example in your sphere which God is trying to influence. Okay? That's the application of the word. Not just the studying of it and hearing it, but now we're talking about applying it and interacting with the spirit that resides within you. Understanding must occur at a spirit level. Number one, this is why this has to happen, because going through this, there are things that God, again, verse 2, there's things that God has, mysteries that he wants. Now, clearly from the scriptures, let me see if this was it. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Very plain, very simple. There's no way for me to know what Aunt Gail is thinking unless Aunt Gail does what? She has to tell me. There's no way for me to know what Brian is thinking unless Brian does what? Brian has to tell me. Hey, he has to open up and reveal what's in him. There is no way for man to understand who God is, what God is doing, what God is thinking, unless what happens. Now, religion is the study of who God is from man's perspective. That's why religion cannot help us. And religion can take the mask in any form, any area. African American Episcopal, that's how I came up. There are people there that love God, but a lot of them missed it. Because we're doing the best we can to study God's moves and stuff. If you're going to understand God, it has to happen on the inner man level, because he himself has to come and reveal who he is to you. Has to. Otherwise, you will not know. However, you did not receive religion from man to understand God. You received the Spirit of God. Why? So that you can be holy? You are holy because he made you holy. No. So that you can understand him. Not just what he's saying, which is a word of prophecy, word of knowledge. Not just so you can understand those things and perform those things, but so that you can understand his heart and his mind. Why did God say this? Why did God tell me to hold back? Why did God correct me here but not do anything at this time there? Why? But because that's what we deal with, right? Before I was married to the lovely Anitra. So I tried to pursue some women, whatnot. One crushed my heart. And I remember I was sitting on the piano lounge in Jester. I don't know what it is, Jester West, where black people were. And he's hurting. God! God! Right with the piano. Dun, 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 dun. God! Because you got to make it dramatic, because he won't hear. Why did you let this woman break my heart? He's like, John, I ain't had nothing to do with that. You chose to put yourself in that position. See, that's God speaking to me. Now, if you had come to me, but God, I thought I was picking a godly woman. You picked a woman that went to church. And just because she went to church didn't mean that that was the woman that was supposed to be for you. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, people thought I hated women because, I wanted to be with a woman. But it's more to being married than that. Am I right? It requires more than just wanting to be with one. So God had instructions for me. He also had development for me. He said, what makes you think that I want to trust you with one of my daughters? I'm just saying what he told me. I thought, oh. I thought I just having a hard time. I didn't look that good. I said, yes. Nah, you're not ready. I drop a little knowledge on you as we were coming together, you know, and like I said, she's making me mad sometimes. So I'm mad, like, God, I got to drop this woman, you know. This ain't working out. And God's like, look, John, look. Golly, see what y'all do to me. He said, look here, sit down. I said, all right, man, I'm frustrated. He said, I told you what? He said, this was a godly woman. He said, is she still a godly woman? Yes, she is. The characters that made her godly women, does she have those? I said, yes, she does. He said, so what has changed? So I've learned a little more about her because I've been around her in a different way. He said, yeah, but she's still the same person that I made her to be. So what you're telling me is that you're not willing to handle all that she is. You just want the good part. You know, you're not strong enough for her. See, now that challenged my pride. What you mean not strong? I'm black. You know, you just say crazy stuff to guy. You know, I mean, I'm not going to win the argument. What you mean? See, nah. When you want somebody, you want all of them. See, that's how I love. When you were still a sinner, I died for you. See, now I'm understanding love from his perspective. What is love? Not that she became perfect so that she would never, ever offend me, but that I would provide a covering around her so that even if she did offend me, it would not affect our relationship. Does that not sound like God? I don't care what you did. I have made provision through Christ that our relationship will not be broken no matter what you do. Now, can you handle that? Let me think about this. I want to. If you can handle that, that's the type of woman you should pick. Now, I can give you another one, but you're going to pick one just like her. I said, well, I might well stay with this one. She's a judge. Application of the word. I don't like tight relationship, but the application of the word, I needed to dialogue with God so that now there are other things that God taught me that enabled us to dialogue on the terms of relationship. The basis of that was God's love is an agape love. For God so loved the world that he gave. The relationship in the Americas is I so love you so much that I want you to give me. That's not love. But that's the love that we put out there. Have to be careful because it's very subtle. I love you, I love you, love you. You should do this for me. That's not love. Love is I'm going to give regardless of how you respond. Because not everybody's going to be saved because not everybody responds positively to the love that God gave. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if I wanted to understand relationships from God's perspective, we had to start there. That's why he had to delay me, because I wasn't even looking at that. I'm looking at the Love Boat and all the television, you know, shows that I watched, you know, when this is what love is, you know. He said, no, we got to clean that up. But we had to deal with the spiritual level. Now, to throw this in, the part that blocks that, the Bible says, let me see, am I there? God wants us to understand. Now, we're on understanding must occur at a spiritual level. What God is thinking must be revealed. It cannot be studied out, and God has given us a spirit to convey this. Here's why it must be revealed. All right. Now, of course, in Brother Scott Minister, we are spirits that have a soul, live in a body. The Bible says the God of this world, the people in this world cannot hear the gospel message, the light, the truth, because the God of this world or the system, the Satan no longer is in rule because Jesus came and deposed him. That happened with the cross. So he's not the God of this world who doesn't have authority anymore, but the system that he put in place is already in place. Jesus said that, hey, the spirit of man in Christ is already in the world. Now, that system that is in place has already worked for you 15, 16, 22, 23, 30, 50 years to scar what? Your mind, your soul. So now, when God wants to speak to you, he speaks to you where? In your spirit, the inner man. Now, God speaking to you in your inner man is not an audible voice. What would come to you where? In your outer. This is the outer ear. This is not the ear that God is speaking to. And so if his heart, if we're focusing on the outer ear to hear what God is saying, we're going to miss a lot. Now, what we can try to do is study some things which is going to affect the mind. And so, okay, I'm going to study some things and I'm going to get it in my mind. But your mind is clouded by your past. You have been shaped and impacted by all the experiences that you had. Oh, my mother rejected me. She didn't love me like she loved the other person. And you have all of that in there so that when you come to present yourself to love, you have that history in your mind blocking what the Spirit may be trying to speak to you. I had one young man say this to me. He said, I was speaking about the love of the Father. This is what a father would do. This is what a father would do. He said, hold up. He said, man, I did not have a father, and my mother sold drugs with me. So when you explain love to me from the point of a parent, I have no idea what you're talking about. What was he talking about? In his soul, there was a blockage. The God of this world, or the system of this world, had darkened his mind. He couldn't hear clearly. So in order for God to speak to him clearly, he injected light, which was me, to speak the truth, because Hebrews says the word of God is living and active, and it sharpening two-edged sword, and it penetrates to dividing of the bone and marrow, flesh, and soul and spirit. So the active word enters into the very core of who you are and begins to separate darkness from light. That's the living active word. So now I'm using the word. When I'm teaching the word to my kids or to people, what I'm counting on is the word will be continue acting far beyond just the message in the church. I'm trying to it's like a household cleaning product. You know, you have some stuff that you apply and you work it in, but then you have some stuff that you put down and you go away and come back because it needs to do some work on its own. That's the work of the word with the anointing in your life, because it has to come to the inner man. Now, as that begins to separate and clear out the inner man, now the voice of God can come from within you and reveal to you the picture of the truth. That's why the truth must be revealed. Not studied, because that's outside in. The truth must be revealed. That's why God compares it to a seed. A seed is planted, and then when it grows, what's in the seed is revealed. And so as the word of God is planted in you, what happens is the seed comes in. God works that. He rearranged stuff, and then all of a sudden, with the fertilizer, the anointing, pictures of the truth begin to be revealed in you of what love is, of what right is, of what justice is, of who you are. And when that's revealed in you, now you can begin to be conformed into a new image, a new self-concept. And part of that self-concept will be your identity, who God made you to be. Does that make sense? That happens on the inner man level. That's the level, that's the stuff that he's trying, the enemy or the world system tries to block. So or so's the word. The first ground completely rejects the word. Enemy comes and steals that away. Second ground is rocky ground. That's all the other stuff that's happened. Word gets in a little bit but cannot take root. Has to get in the inner man. Next ground receives it with gladness but gets choked by what? That's the experiences. You see, there's so much there. That's the stuff that God deals with so that he can deal with you from the inside out. That happens on the inner man level. He wants you to understand that's the work that has to happen on the inner man level. And then we get to, I always get to this point and it's only 2 minutes left. And then we get to the discipline of developing the inner man. Now this is where the application comes in, because I've told you the importance of the inner man. The work happens on the inner man. You're going to hear God. You're going to hear God in here. That's where it's going to come so that the image can come out. So what we need to do in order for that to happen is we need to develop the inner man. Oh, let me give you one more scripture. I only got a couple of minutes, but Hebrews chapter 5. And Matthias says, Hebrews. That's why the man cooks the coffee, because Hebrews. Hebrews. All right. All right, 12, 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. God wants you to understand. He wants you to grow in your man, because you need to be mature to handle what's here, to handle the instructions in the manual. Gotta grow. Gotta grow. Gotta grow from God loves me and God loves you. Got to grow. Got to mature. If you don't mature, you don't get to the meat. All you have is the milk. Milk is good. Milk strengthens the bones, but you're not running a marathon drinking milk. You're going to run a marathon. You're going to become the star that you were destined to be. You need some meat. Otherwise, you're going to get up there, and maybe you get your opportunity, you get your shot, and you flame in, woo, and then you fall. And we have a lot of that in the church. And unfortunately, me and Damon kind of talked about that, the church is not mature to the point that we cover those people. We know what's happening. Yeah, they have a weakness. They have a fall. We know if they get out there in front, the enemy's gunning for them to try to make it look bad for everybody else. They get up there, they mess up, they fall, and then we tag them. That's not what the body's supposed to do. We supposed to bring them in and cover them while the world shoots at them so they can get built back up. We have them mature so that they're protected from that, so maybe they don't do that the next time, and we can protect some other young people coming up. You know. But anyway, that's a sidebar. In order to handle the word and everything that the word has, in order to get you to grow, you have to mature. You got to grow. First part, watch this. 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 11 seconds, stop. I'm going to stop. First part to grow that everybody gets, that everybody understands, the study of the what? The study of the word. Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that rightly handles what? That's where the studying of the scripture comes. Why? Because Jesus said the thing that the Holy Spirit would do is remind you of what? He's going to remind you of the things that God said, or remind you of the word. That's a function of what's supposed to happen. That's part of the discipline of developing in the inner man. Got to have that part so that you can grow and mature. If you don't have some part in your life, that's not going to church. Church has a function, but that's not going to church. This is you sitting down, looking at the Bible, something in that Bible, because what you want to do is not remember the word. You want to hear the voice. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. When you study, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is your comfort. He's your guide. He's your teacher. So when you sit down to read the word, the Spirit is there to uncover what you need. Not just what the scripture is saying, but uncovering what you need. He knows where you hurt. He knows Jesus. He's going to show you things that are to come. So this is the interaction that you're having with God that you're not seeing in your room or wherever you're doing it. Probably why he says go to an inner room so you don't get disturbed. When you sit down to study, there's a whole interaction where the Spirit says, this is what's coming for this individual. I got some networking connections coming, or there's going to be a challenge, because in this life you're going to have tribulations. Something's coming. We need them to understand this. It's going to help them overcome that. So in this particular verse, we're going to highlight this. We're going to highlight this. Now, it could be God so loved the world, or we get to Nicodemus, but you're going to get something special out of that, those scriptures that I didn't get. Because my relationship with the Spirit is different from your relationship with the Spirit. We might not be dealing with the same thing. So I need that interaction. If you cut that interaction out of your life, you're not going to die, but you're going to be crippled. You understand that? Because part of your maturity is going to come from studying the scriptures. I did not say all, but part of the development of the inner man. As you're studying that, you're getting things in there. That part I don't have to go through, because you know you should be studying the word. Romans 12, renewing the mind, so that you can prove what? Yeah. And the enemy kind of confused that and said, well, there's a good will. There's a perfect will. No. He said, you need to be able to figure out what God, because what all you want to know is, what does God want? The way for you to do that is you have to renew your mind, Because your mind is part of the soul that is blocking what God is saying to you. Got to get that in line. Brown's just up there talking about authority. You need to take authority over your body. Go to study the word. My body will tell me it is time to sleep. Time to sleep. Time to praise and worship. We did this at camp. We were getting ready to worship. I mean, we had to take our shoes off. It's like 90 degrees. And so, you know, we just had some kids leave. We're tired. We're out to praise God. And this one girl is kind of, I'm not going to say she was a big one. I'm just going to say she loved God. But she spoke with authority. And we were about to praise God. Yeah, you know, kind of tired. And she said, "No, body, you're telling me I'm tired. I do not care. At this time, I'm going to praise the Lord." She said that out loud. I turned around and said, "Oh, praise the Lord." But what she said is what all of us felt. Our bodies were telling us no. And she said, "You know what? I don't care. I have authority, and this is what we're, you know," because sometimes you have to do that. That's part of the process. I'm gonna force my body to do what my body doesn't want, but your spirit does want it, trust me. It's part of the interaction. So studying the word is part of that. Developing the inner man. Step two to developing the inner man is going to be prayer. Jude, praying the Holy Spirit to do what? Building yourself up. The first time I learned that, which was not here, it was building up your faith. But the scripture says building yourself up. Why are you building yourself up? You are developing your inner man so that you can hear the voice of the Lord through all the stuff. Studying the scriptures is building yourself up so you can hear the voice. It's also giving you the tools so that you can hear. So that when you hear God speak to you, you can say, "I recognize that." You know, God's compared to a shepherd. The shepherds that you will see over here stand behind the sheep and they kind of drive them, go, 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 you know, the stick. But that's not the picture of an Eastern shepherd. An Eastern shepherd, what they said would happen when they were training a young shepherd to come up, what they would do is they take a baby sheep and put that sheep where that young person was so that the sheep would get familiar with the person from a young age so that when the person stepped out, the young sheep learned to follow him because the sheep was familiar with the voice. And so when you see Eastern shepherds, they lead from the front, singing and calling. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me," not drives me. "He leads me beside still waters." How many of you have been led down to Town Lake this Sunday? No, you're not going to the water to eat grass. But you need to be led. You're getting ready to be in a position to choose your mate. You need to be led. You're trying to choose what school you're going to. You need to be led. You're trying to choose what job, what profession you want to go into. You need to be led. And it would be great if the devil stood aside and allowed God to lead you into your prosperity. That ain't happening. And so you have to learn to hear God in the presence of enemy fire. Things that happen in your life that try to get you off track. That does not happen because you come here Sunday and Wednesday. You have to develop your inner man. Part of that is studying the scriptures. The other part of that is prayer. As you pray, you interact with God and you learn to hear the voice of God, to sense his presence. Prayer is communication. So that's part of the development of the, not all, but part of the development of the inner man. Getting down to the last parts, the other parts that we usually skip, is submission to leadership in the church. Ephesians 5. God has given you gifts. What are those gifts? Pastors, prophets, teachers. I'm just saying, that's not all, but that was put there for what? The last part of that is for the developing of the saints. Till we all come into unity, but that's the part we reject. We reject it in this sense. I don't like what he said, I'm leaving. Why? Because that's not submission to the gift that God placed, right? I'll come here and hear, but I'm not coming to submit. Because you have to submit in order for somebody to do what? Correct you. That's the hard part. No. This is the hard part. Correction is hard. How about getting corrected by someone you know has something wrong in their life? How are you going to tell me something when... So you supposed to be better than me? No. So you know what happened with Moses? How Moses get to lead? God slapped with leprosy. Why? Because I called him. If you're here, did God call you to be here? If God called you to be here, did he call you to submit to that man? Not because he's perfect, because God put him in that position, because he's using him to build and edify you. But you want to be selfish and make it about you. It's not about that. Yeah, now he can get it wrong. He can make mistakes. Who gets to correct him? The Lord. What's God going to ask you when you get in front? Well, God, you see what he did? I don't care what he did. What did I tell you to do? Now, if you're not supposed to be submitted here, you're not supposed to be submitted here. Do what, you know, you're auditing. But you need a pastor. Why? Because that's in the scriptures. I wouldn't even say it. It wasn't in the scriptures. I'm a stickler for the scriptures, but it's in there. And a pastor is not a preacher. Preachers, you know, they can go. Pastors teach a flock. They shepherd. So if there's pastors there, you need a pastor. Part of development, I could do without it. I mess myself up all by myself. I don't need nobody else. That's part of the development. So that, not, and again, this is so you grow accustomed to hearing the voice of God. Not hearing the voice of Jim. Hearing the voice of God. It's important for you so that you can become what God wants you to become. It's part of it. Last part, the part that they skip. We all skip. Fellowship of the believers. Now, you know this one. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Heard your minister about that, the assembling. What's the other part of that? Iron, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One unbeliever? No. Part of the reason why you're gathered together with a group of believers is because being in that group of believers is part of your development. It's part of it. One of the things that happens when a person gets in the way to fall away from God, they separate themselves from other believers. Happens every time. Get isolated, devil wears them out, and then they're gone. I'll give you this one, Timothy. Timothy said, Timothy, pursue righteousness. I'll say, well, he said, flee youthful lust first. So I was on that one in college because I had a lot of youthful lust. Flee youthful lust, John. Yes, Father, help me, Jesus. Pursue, didn't get the other part. Pursue righteousness with other believers. It says others with like mind, like heart. Give you this one. Bad company does what? Company, that's friend, that's fellowship. There is a purpose for the fellowship of the believers in your life. Somebody's like, well, I can't make friends. You better practice. What better place to practice than in a group of believers where God commands them to forgive you? Seven times. God, I counted, I'm on six. I'm just saying it's part of the development of your inner man to put you on the footing so that you can hear the voice. The important thing is to hear the voice. All of that is to mature you so that you hear the voice. Because the voice leads you to the place where your joy is full. Because God says, I need you to be here at this time to make this connection. Big things going to happen. But you know what you hear? I need you to go over. Or forget it, I'm not even going to listen. And then you miss that. Then you get to the point where you needed that, but you couldn't hear to get there. You think God abandoned you. It's, no. I need you to hear what I said, but I don't trust that I heard you. That's why I need you to develop. That's the process needed for, or that's the reason why the application of the word is important. Not just the getting it, but the application. Does that make sense? God wants you to understand. He needs you to understand at the inner man level. And when you get that by doing the discipline, study the word, prayer, fellowship,
submitting to the pastors, the gifts that God calls in the church. They ain't deal with worship, but there's two good ones here, you know, there's other messages. Now we can apply. Amen. Here, let me pray and dismiss if you want to come take it. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your patience with us, Lord, as we're growing. We know that you are long-suffering, but you have not given up on us. Strengthen us, Lord, that we would not give up on you or give up on the process. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for enlightenment. While we have strayed, bring us back to your path that we may be all that you empowered us to be. Now, the Lord bless you and watch and guard and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually.